This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. With all the amazing advances in medical science, sometimes what patients need the most is something very basic: good communication with their doctors, the ability to ask questions and get clear answers. But it turns out that's not always so straightforward. And that's the focus of this week's Common Health segment. And with us is co-host, Common Health co-host Carrie Goldberg. Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Anthony.
Good to have you.
Thanks.
So many of us have experienced this frustration. How big a problem is this, this lack of clear communication with doctors?
There's a brand new book out called Talking to Your Doctor by a Johns Hopkins doctor called Zachary Berger. And he notes that the average doctor performs about 150,000 interviews with a patient in their lifetime. So you would think that it would be the thing that they needed to know how to do the best. And yet there are so often these communication gaps.
So, Carrie, why is good communication so important?
Well, it can have some very major ripple effects when you don't communicate well. Poor patient-doctor communication is considered probably the single biggest source of missed information that leads to erroneous treatment, treatment not followed properly, unnecessary anxiety. We all know about that. It's also thought to be a factor in malpractice suits. And conversely, studies have found that good communication leads to better outcomes.
Really important. Well, let's introduce Alicare Peltonen. She wrote about her own experience of miscommunication or lack of communication for the Common Health blog, and she's here with us now. And Alicare, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Hi, Anthony. Thank you.
Thank you. You wrote about a small, what started out as a small cancerous growth on your leg that you had removed, but there was so much that happened that you didn't expect. So tell us about that. What happened?
Right. So I had this sort of pea-sized blemish that didn't go away, and I got it checked out, and I was told it was benign fibroma. It's, you know, get rid of it, don't get rid of it. About 5 or 6 years later, I decided, because I had much better health insurance, I decided to get rid of it. And so I did. It was excised. I was told, you know, they would do testing and they would do a biopsy and get back to me in a week. And so a week later, I'm sitting in my office and I got a phone call and they said it's the dermatology office. And I was sort of matter-of-factly told it was a dermatofibrosarcoma protuberans.
Mm, cancer, in other words.
Yes, but I wasn't exactly told that immediately. I was just given that term and told that I would need to come back in a week for what's called a Mohs surgery. And that was sort of the extent of the conversation. And I remember asking, so I have cancer? And she said, oh, yes, but it's a rare form. And it's, and I said, well, chemo, radiation? Oh, no, 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 just the surgery. You know,
and
come
this
back
was
in
a nurse that you were talking to.
Mm-hmm, yeah. On the phone. And I thought, I can't believe we had this conversation on the phone, and I feel like maybe this should have been something they brought me in for.
And then you describe this in some detail, and it turns out to be quite a procedure you were put through.
It is. They ended up taking what turned into a baseball-sized hole out of my leg, and then I was given some prescriptions and a pamphlet on wound care and told to go home and wait. And I remember thinking, whoa, you're really going to just send me home to take care of myself?
So what was missing from your experience? What should have happened in your view?
It felt to me like there were many moments in which there were conversations that should have happened, conversations about what was going to happen next, conversations about what I might feel, conversations about treatment options even, or my options as a patient. There were certainly quick technical conversations about painkillers and, you know, wound care and things like that. But what I think was missing was the sort of human element of like, hey, I just cut a massive hole in your leg. How are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And that just didn't happen.
Well, there are lessons here for patients and doctors. And let's turn now to Dr. Jo Shapiro. She's the director of the new Center for Professionalism and Peer Support at Brigham and Women's Hospital. She's also the chief of otolaryngology in the Department of Surgery at the Brigham. And Dr. Shapiro, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So what do you hear in Alicare's story? Does it sound like a breakdown in communication? And if so, what needs to happen to avoid this?
Clearly, we as a profession didn't meet her needs. You know, this is a challenge for us as physicians. My expertise is in thinking about why, as physicians and other healthcare providers, we don't have those conversations.
And what's your best guess as to why?
I can't speak for her physicians, of course, but I've had such a lot of experience in helping my colleagues have difficult conversations with patients that I'm going to extrapolate. If things don't go as planned, let's say in this case maybe the lesion was much, much more extensive and they had to take out much more than they had anticipated, that sometimes leads to a feeling of embarrassment, discomfort, and when it's really bad, if we're involved in care that really did not go well, we can feel very shamed. Mm-hmm. And it can lead you to avoiding contact with the patient, avoiding a conversation, maybe not showing up in person for the follow-up visit, something where unconsciously you just don't want to be there because you feel terrible about what happened.
But I'm wondering, doctor, if there's something else going on here too, and that is, for understandable reasons, the physician focuses so much attention on the procedure that something as basic as communication is sometimes forgotten about. Is the skill of communicating taught in medicine now, do you think? Or does more attention need to be applied to that?
I think it's absolutely taught in medical school now. There's a tremendous focus on patient-physician communication. We have a lot of work to do because clearly what happened to Alacare happened recently, and so, you know, she experienced, I would say, a deficit or a discompetence in that area.
Alacare, I want to come to you and sort of ask you finally, you know, what's your takeaway from this experience and from listening to what Dr. Shapiro was just talking about?
It just needed a clarification. It needed some kind of discussion about this thing happened. Nobody could have predicted it. We did everything the way we were supposed to. You know, stuff happens. Here's what we think is the problem, and here's how, you know, we want to fix it. And do you have any fears? I would have liked to have heard, do you have any fears? Because I think it's completely normal to suggest that somebody might be afraid.
And Alacare, you also came away saying that you realized that you clam up, even though you're by no means a shrinking violet, you clam up when you face a white coat, right?
Sure. And I think for me, too, I thought, you know, we expect a lot from doctors, a lot. Is it even fair to ask a doctor to have these conversations? Is there another person on the medical team? Is there a completely new profession we could make, you know, of patient communicator? Because it may not be fair to ask a doctor who we expect to have this enormous amount of technical information to be also a social worker.
What do you think, Dr. Shapiro? Do we need another professional in the middle here?
No, Alacare, that's kind of you in many ways, but I have to say I really don't think that's a good solution. If the relationship had been set up, I think, Alacare, where you felt like there was just a pause for you to reflect, mm-hmm. and just to stopping for a minute where the doctor's not explaining and going over things and instructions and the nurses, where somebody could have said, and it should have been the physician, is there anything else about this that you need to hear?
Sure.
And then it would have helped you, I think, if you'd thought, well, not right now, but maybe on Tuesday when my pain's kicking in, you would have felt, I think, there was a relationship where, well, he said, is there anything else? And now there is something else.
So the avenue for communication would have been sort of established and opened early in the process, it sounds like you're saying.
That's what I've experienced and from what I understand around patient communications. And that's something every single physician should know how to do.
Jo Shapiro, she's the director of the new Center for Professionalism and Peer Support at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Dr. Shapiro, thank you for your help today. We're very grateful. Very grateful.
My pleasure.
Carrie Goldberg, co-host of WBUR's Common Health blog, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Alacare Pelton. And before I say goodbye, I want to ask you, how are you doing? How is your leg?
My leg is great. I have a little bit of a divot, but I'm cancer-free, and I don't have any pain, and I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that. That's Alacare Pelton, and she's the author of the latest Common Health blog posting, which you can find a link to at radioboston.org. Thanks so much. And that's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.